Hi, my name is Haley, and I'm here with Pastor
Chris Bray.
Chris Bray at Prairie Trail Cowboy Church in Hayesville, Kansas.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, before we start talking about your ministry, can I ask you a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
Did you grow up in the church?
I grew up in a Catholic church as a boy, Irish Catholic in central Indiana. So, in the church, yeah, sort of. Catholicism's a little bit different, but yeah.
So, what brought you from Indiana to Kansas?
I was in the Air Force, so I traveled around the world and kind of made a loop back, and then ended up in Kansas. Was here, stationed here. And then when I got out, I moved to Texas. And that's where I lived for a long time. And then the Cowboy Church brought me back.
All right. So how did you get involved in the Cowboy Church?
I actually went to Friends University for Christian theology and a theology master's degree in Christian studies. And I got wounded at a church here local, and we all know that churches are imperfect, but you don't understand that sometimes, you know, until it happens. And so I kind of fell away from the church, and I went into the restaurant business, and I was very successful in Texas, and was just going through some kind of really, you know, rough patches, and owned a ranch, and they had just opened a Cowboy Church in Wichita Falls. And it kind of caught my eye because of a mishap with a horse. They tried to ride the horse into the church, and they just built a new building, and they practiced it several times, but without people and without water in the tank, and as the lights kind of speckled off the water, the horse kind of boogered and just about took him off. And so I said, I gotta check this place out. This guy's crazy enough to do that. So we went to church, and like I said, I hadn't used any of my information or college. I hadn't done anything, and just started going to church because it fit who I was.
So how did you get from there to this church?
So being skeptical of any church at that point, I sat in the back. And you'll find in most Cowboy churches that that's what happens. You know, the people come in right before church starts, leaves a little before it's over. They've either been wounded or never been or don't, you know, they've been to enough funerals or something that given them that off taste of traditional church. And I'm not bashing traditional church, but it's just we serve kind of a niche market. And so I went there and just sat around and was asked to serve, which I thought was crazy because I really didn't do anything. But I was asked to serve, approached to serve, got on the chuck wagon team, started a youth program, ended up being a lay pastor, and then one day the pastor looked at me and said, I don't know your background, I don't know what you're running from, but you need to be in ministry. And so, because he had forced me to preach a couple times, and that church had grown to about 1,200 or 1,300 people.
Oh, wow.
And so he goes, this is what you need to be doing. I feel that that's what God's call is for you. And most pastors, they feel it, they don't want to do it. I mean, it's a hard job. I mean, people don't realize the pressure, and I knew, and I just didn't, you know, I knew that I needed to do it. I just didn't want to do it. And so there again, God works in his own way. They make me, I'm with the American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches, and they had a coaching opportunity in Hayesville, and my wife's parents lived here, and they weren't doing very well, so we were driving here, and so I said, well, I'll be there at least once a month. I'll pick that church up. And got here, and it was kind of a train wreck. They'd got to about 60 people, got down to about 10 to 16, was coaching them through it. The pastor quit, so through the process. It's me. The pastor quit, and they asked to fall under the church in Texas, as we were there close. We were the closest Cowboy Church to here. Mm-hmm. It was affiliated with the American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches. And so Jim said, under one condition, I want Chris to be your interim for a year. And I'm sitting right there, and I'm like, you could ask. He goes, I just think you should do it. So I started to travel back and forth. So long story short, I traveled for about 7 or 8 months. And we went from 18 to 100, about 115. Moved from Maddox Arena back over to here. They'd started here. Mm-hmm. and they called me to be the pastor. Neither one, my wife and I, wanted to come back to Hayesville, but we knew God was calling us back here, so we accepted the position. That was 2010, I guess, late 2010. No, probably later than that, because so right around that time frame, mm-hmm. and that's what kind of brought us back. And we kind of, at that point, started to plant the church. So
how would you describe Cowboy Church to someone who's never heard of it?
It's Cowboy Church with no restrictions and it's church with no restrictions, no boundaries, other than what the Bible calls for. So man imposes a lot of rules, and I'm okay with that. Again, I got to preface it because I don't want people to think that I don't like traditional church. Traditional church is great, but they impose rules: a certain way to dress, no hat, and, you know, don't bring coffee here. They have rules, and it's okay that they have rules. Rules tend to be walls that people can't get past sometimes because of their sin. So it's one thing if I'm a church member and I know that, you know, there's no coffee in the sanctuary because they feel it's disrespectful, you can't wear a hat or you can't. But when I start to impose those rules to a point where it chases people away, then I have an issue. So Cowboy Church is a church for the unchurched or the de-churched. If you come in with a cup of coffee, no care, who cares? If you come in with a spit cup, who cares? If you come in wearing your hat, who cares? Bring your dog, who cares? We don't care. We just don't care. I mean, I had a lady on her e-cigarette in the first service, you know, and I'm, at first it bothers me a little, but then I'm like, you know, she's not hurting anybody. And so at this point, and I can tell by looking at her, she's wounded. So why add insult to injury? You know, that's something we can talk to her about, you know, a month down the road. Right now, let's just keep her in here. So we have no boundaries as far as, or barriers to keep you from coming in to hear about the lost or about Jesus and to hear about why you as the lost need to be saved. So we get rid of the stained glass, the big fluffy podiums, the flowers, the big carpet, we just get rid of it all to where you just come in, you feel comfortable. If you spill something, who cares? If your dog, you know, sheds, we don't care. And it gives the people of our culture and of the rural communities and rednecks and NASCAR fans, whatever you want to call them, some place to go to feel comfortable enough to hear about it.
And so you aren't really connected to any particular denomination then?
The American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches started off as a Southern Baptist, Western Heritage Culture, or Western Heritage Ministry is what they called it. The American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches is a non-denominational. They have spun off and now are their own 501c3, mm-hmm. duly incorporated religious organization. So they are not, you're always probably going to get a little bit of a Baptist flavor, but there's some things that we don't agree with in their doctrine. And, you know, I don't believe that baptism is a call for salvation. I believe there's two types of baptism: baptism of the Spirit, baptism in water. One is of the Holy Spirit. One is an outward appearance of your inward faith. So that's where we might differ a little bit, but I think you'd feel a little Baptist flavor in it.
So how I noticed the music was a lot different than any of the churches I've ever been to, aside from Cowboy churches. How does that kind of play into the concept of Cowboy Church?
We like to put it as, we'd like you to hear something similar to what you'd hear Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's probably pretty calm, tame today. I mean, it really is. We play about anything. And, you know, we'll throw a couple of old, you know, country gospel-y hymns in the middle of it, but most of it is just kind of what you hear on the radio. Not the nasty, raunchy stuff, but stuff that you can relate to anyway. So it plays a huge key part in giving people a way to even invite people to church, because lost people are afraid to talk about their salvation, but they'll tell you about their band. So it also gives us an outreach opportunity as well. So
who attends your services? Who would you say you reach out to the most? Or what do you seek to reach out to?
We reach lower middle class America, blue collar, you know, I like to call them NASCAR fans and rednecks, you know. You know, our people are going to be more in tune with Talladega Nights than than the Reformation Act. You know, I mean, they're just regular, very simple people.
And how do you get the word across to them? There's a lot in the Bible that's really complicated to try to wrap your mind around. How do you take it from the Bible to what they know about?
I think that's the hardest part, especially for a traditional pastor to come from and make the switch, is one, they want to hear it real. They don't want it fluffed. They don't want a bow on it. They want it as raw and as real as you can give it to them. Two, you need to be able to apply it in their life. So you need to be able to give them an example. You know, so, you know, some of my sermons can go a little long because, you know, by the time I read the Bible, give them the background of it and why it is there and why he's saying it and the context, because they've never read the Bible. They're not going to read the Bible. They need to understand there's context to this from different areas of the Bible. And then I give them an example that, and it could be a little rough around the edges, but they understand it. And I kind of equate it to the old Puritans. You know, I mean, their services were 2 hours, you know, but there was so much life application in it that people just stayed, you know, because they got something out of it and they learned the Bible. So the Puritans didn't deviate on either side. You got your Bible study, you got your life application, and you could understand it, and that's why it ran so long. You know, now we either have prosperity preachers that are over here just being fluffy, or we have guys that are beating you over the head with it. You got to be in between somewhere. So sometimes it runs a little longer, but it works.
So how do you think the Cowboy Church is growing so fast? One of the things that I noticed while doing research is that all of them seem to have started within the last 5 to 10 years, and it's been growing so quickly. What would you attribute that to?
Because it's real church for real people. I mean, you know, I've been out of traditional church because when I was going to school, I was serving in one of the larger churches in the city. And they were geared toward a certain people, and it fit. And traditional church just does not fit real America. You know, the heartland, the blue collar of America. Their pastors are overeducated. Not that education is a bad thing, but, you know, because I'm one, so I can't. But they're overeducated. They speak above them. They don't dummy it down because they want to almost keep you in that sense. They preach way too much about money, even though, yeah, Jesus talks 20% of his ministry of the money. They preach about it too much. They live too fancy a lifestyle that they can't relate to. I mean, there's just all these barriers that are out there. And so we've left a certain area of America unchurched. We haven't tried to reach them. And we have the rural churches, but we don't have the kind of suburbia church that's, you know, you got inner city and the metro, and then you have suburban, and then you have kind of, there's this fringe before you get out into the country. Mm-hmm. There's a fringe out there of people that we've just left behind, and that's who we target, and that's why it's growing, because they're hungry. They've always wanted a church. They want a place where they can feel connected and plugged in. I mean, I could have an all call for a church work day tomorrow, and there'd be 100 people here, because they don't have a lot of money, but they will give their time and their talent, and that's never been enough. Because we've built our churches so massively that their overhead is outrageous. I mean, we built this whole complex for under $300,000. We got this building, you know, and the land for free. We built that building, built the arena, and we fixed everything up and gutted everything, and we've got a little over $300,000 in it. For most churches, that's not even a down payment. For a church for 300 people, that's not even a down payment. I'm a church of 500 people, and we're comfortable, and our debt is minimal. So we don't have to, so we've not gotten ourselves in such a hole that we have to beg for cash. I mean, we need to take in about $1,800 to $2,000 a week to meet our needs. That's nothing. You know, I mean, for us it's a lot, but for a traditional church, that's horrible. So we fit that niche of people that just are hungry and real and need a real church to get behind.
How do you reach out to youth, too? I know a lot of churches have a lot of trouble connecting with, I guess, modern youth that are really involved in technology.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have that figured out. But there again, most of our kids don't have the stuff that, I mean, most of them don't have a new iPhone, a new iPad. I mean, we're not those people. I mean, we're eating kind of people, you know. Most of my people, to put food on the table and to, you know, have basic TV and is a big deal and keep the air on. So we don't have as technology advanced kids. I mean, yeah, they have a phone, they know how to use it, you know, and they know how to use a computer, but they still like to fish and play. And so we just do that. I mean, we just, now everything has to be driven off of, you can't tell them a story, you got to show them a video. I mean, you've got to know that side of technology, of where they're at. Even our kids, I mean, every one of our kids' rooms has a TV and a, you know, DVD player, so they have to interact that way. But they all went fishing on Friday. I mean, and they had a hoot, you know, and no phones, no nothing, just in a, down by the old Arkansas River, you know. So, but we struggle with it just like everybody else. I mean, we have, you know, just because we're different doesn't mean we don't have the similarities that they struggle with. So,
I think I have one last question. What do you see for the future of your ministry here?
Well, we've grown so rapidly. We grew from, we had 18 people at my first service as the interim pastor, and we were at Maddox Arena, to a good Sunday morning is about 450 or 500. So, and we've noticed that you take Easter service, and it's just about where you'll move to. And Easter, we sat at about between 650 and 700. So that's where we think we'll land sometime in the late winter. You know, that's where we'll probably land for this year's growth. And so we're just trying to keep up. I mean, you know, we're trying to take one step ahead. You know, we went from one service to two, and there's days when we could pull off one, and there, you know, because we can sit 325, so there's days we can pull it off, and there's days that they're both packed. So, I mean, you know, we made that transition before it got to where people didn't come in and felt comfortable. You know, it was just overcrowded, because the 80-20 thing still works. You want to at least have 20% of your seating open. So it still works even here, even more so here. So we're just trying to stay ahead of the game, you know, make good decisions now, financially, spiritually, to carry us, and we're ready for what comes down the road, and not get us in so deep. Mm-hmm. So that's where our leadership focus is just trying to stay ahead of the curve of the growth. You know, and I complain about that a little bit, and everybody's like, that's a great thing that you have to complain about, but it's still an issue nonetheless. The arena is going to take us to a whole new level because we just built it. We went 4 years of this massive growth without ever having an event in the arena. And we are targeting the Working Cowboy. I mean, that's really, think of it this way. Aim small, miss small, right? Mm-hmm. So if we aim for the Working Cowboy, we're going to get the rodeo queens and the barrel racers and the can chasers and the ropers and the, you know, all those people, and then the fun show people are going to hit the outer, you know, this next ring, and then the John Wayne fans and the country. And so we're going to hit that target. As long as we're shooting here, we're always going to hit this target. And so that's why we build these things, is because this is a safe place for them to come. We can do it cheap. It's not about making money. It's about a ministry. So we can do great events with minimal money outlaid from the guys that are coming in. So that's going to take us to a whole new level, and we've been struggling to try to get it done because of all the rain. So, because we got it all worked, you know, we put it in last fall, and we worked until it got just bitterly cold and nasty, and then we started again, and then we've had all this rain, so we haven't been able to get it finished. So we're really looking forward to this fall getting that open, and I think that'll take us to a next level. We don't advertise. We don't do anything. Our church has grown because of the people inside of it, and here's what my last 2 cents worth for any church. You have to grow the four walls before you grow anything. When I was in the restaurant business, I had a term that says, if your four walls aren't tight, don't look outside. Okay? So if you're taking care of your four walls, which are your people, giving them, feeding them, having discipleship programs, giving them fellowship, giving them, your church will naturally grow from your people. You know, I put it as, I'm the wholesaler and you're the retailer. My job is to feed you Sunday morning so that you can go out and feed the rest of the world. So we have grown up to this point without having, we have one community outreach event a year. Everything else is geared in-house, but invite your friends. So like our family picnic, there was no advertisements anywhere. It's not on a billboard. There's no flyers. There's no anything. It's, hey, listen, bring your family and your friends, and let's get, and so that's how we've grown the church. I believe that the four walls will naturally grow it. As long as you're taking care of those people, they're going to continue to grow your church. And we've had people come and go. I mean, we've lost some and gained some, but you're going to continue that growth pattern by doing that. And I don't care what kind of church. I don't care if you're a motorcycle church. I don't care what you, I don't care. It works. And most cowboy churches don't get it. That the arena is cool, but it's just a tool. You know, that's our feeding the homeless. I mean, you think about it that way. If we, there's those guys that do that, they're never going to really be in church very often because that's their passion, their life. That's where we're going to be. So we're going to give them some church where they go. But if we get, if we have 800 people here for an event, if we get 8 of them to just show up to church on Sunday, is a big deal. 1%. Just on that Sunday. I don't know how many you're going to keep, but just to get them to come back for church once. So that's never going to grow your church. That's going to reach them and give them and plant a seed so that God can use it when he needs it. So a lot of cowboy churches put way too much stock in that and not enough in growing their people. So they don't have any discipleship programs. They don't have any of those kind of things. And you'll see a lot of people leave them after they start to mature because they can't keep growing. So our ministry is to continue to grow our people. And if we grow our people will grow our church. So that's kind of where we're at.
All right, well, that's all the questions that I had, unless there's anything else you'd like to add.
No, I really appreciate you coming out and all spending your time.
Thank you so much for your support as well.